And we are up to page Sadi. Okay, we're up to Ayin Altanis. You still got the color. Let me see the Marshal Pisam with Army Mahavai. Ayin Vav, page Sadi Gimel. Page Sadi Gimel. Halacha Ayin Vav.
The left guts. We're on guts.
Okay, this is scary stuff. This is scary stuff. Halacha Ayin Vav, again, the page Sadi Gimel. Al Tanish Yisrael V'alte Kalilo. One Jew should never ever punish another Jew and never curse another Jew. Now, what does that mean exactly? Why? Obviously, we're not discussing your own children. We're not discussing as a Rebbe in the capacity of a Mechanic. We're discussing just, you know, adults. It's not, don't play God. That's a very important thing to learn in life, not to play God. God is God, and we are, Hashem is b'shamayim im'al, and we are here in this world. Hashem, He keeps cheshbon. Ach hispalel olav sheyashlim HaKadosh Baruch Hu liboy v'yachzirei l'mutav. You should pray for him. Someone causes harm, the proper thing to do is to pray that Hashem should inspire him that he should do teshuva. Now this is an amazing statement. Because here we normally are of the understanding that bechira is given solely to man. It is impossible for a person to pray that someone else should make a right decision. You can speak to them, but to pray to a person that they should do teshuva. That's a very difficult thing. I'll give you an example. In the world of shidduchim, people are older singles. The most common thing that people say is they don't want to get married. Okay, it's a very nasty thing. You say to an older single, you read him a shidduch, and he says no. And then you say to him, do you want to get married? Do you want to get married? Ask any older single. So that's the worst thing you can say to an older single. Do you want to get married? That's not so bad.
No.
That's not so bad. Mirsha, my dear, is overrated. Okay, the evil on the chart of how evil, everything is evil. How evil? Mirsha, my dear, is that's a little bit. It's not so bad. I'll give it a scale of 1 to 10. Maybe give it a 2. Give it a 2. Give it a 2. But if you say to a person, you read a Mashiach, and he either he goes out and he says, nope, not for me, or he doesn't want to go out. So you say to him, do you want to get married? Do you want to get married? That's a really interesting question. Okay, go talk to a psychologist. What does that question mean? What is the answer to the question? So let us say for argument's sake, in your assessment of this person, he doesn't want to get married. The girls you present them with are or the boys, it's a two-way street. Okay, but let's say the boys you present a girl with, are just outstanding, and she says no. So you come to the conclusion that he does not want to get married. So what do some people do? They wipe their hands. I've done mine. I don't want to know from you for the rest of my life. I've done mine. I can't help a person who does not want to be helped. Okay, this is the Yesod in psychology. How many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb? One. But the light bulb has to want to be changed. If the light bulb doesn't want to be changed, then all the king's horses, all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. The light bulb has to want to change in order for it to be changed. And then even one psychologist, even a lightweight, just got out of school, just got his degree, even he can help. Even he can change the light bulb. But if you don't want to change, no one can help you. So what do you do? He said, I'm done. So why are you done? You can still help the person. You can be mispalel for him. And you go to Meiron. Not that I'm saying that this works anyway, but you go to Meiron, you go to a big rabbi, I cross him off the list. I have a list of 50 people, and I go to a big Rebbe, a big Rashiva. I go and I present the names, and I ask them, say, these are the names, look at them, maybe your Kedusha will have a hashpa, give a bracha for these people, they should be Matzliach. Oh, I have my list, only has a number of slots, take out your magic marker and cross out this guy's name, because this guy does not want to get married.
He's a loser.
Does not want to get married. Okay, he's a loser. He doesn't want to get married. Therefore, I'm not going to bother with him. Question. Here's my question to you. So just change the plan. Don't give up on him. This is a big dilemma. Until now, you were under the impression this fellow is chalashing to marry, get married. He'll marry the first girl that walks in the door. He's chalashing. We just got to get him that one girl who's willing to walk in the door. Who's willing to walk in the front door. Okay, so we're working. We're doing a shtadlus. We're asking, we're talking, we're trying to convince him. We're being mispala with our full heart that one person should walk in the door, oh, and he'll take her. Because he wants to get married. He'll take anyone. But we just got to find someone. But now that it's revealed to me that he doesn't want to get married, so it's a waste of time. So there's no need to do any shtal. There's no need to pray for him. Or maybe you can say, I'm now going to have a change of plan. My change of plan, instead of being mispalel, that the girl should walk into the door, or the boy should walk in the door, I'm going to be mispalel that you should want to get married. I will be mispalel that Hashem should put in your mind the rotzon to get married. Is there such a thing? What I'm telling you now, is that correct? Or there's no such thing as being mispalel for a person that they should want. If a person wants, then you can be mispalel day and night that it should happen, but he has to want. The psychology, you can't help a person. You cannot help a person, not physically, not spiritually, if he does not want to be helped.
We've always learned that, you know, we all want to do a mitzvah.
Yeah.
So
do it. Do it.
Even though people don't do it.
The greatest school of a parnasa is to go to work. To go to work. Don't sit down and pray, say tehillim. That's not going to be a school of. You want a school for parnasa? Go to work. Go get a job. That's the school for parnasa. Nothing more simple than that. So if you want, I can help you. If you don't want, I can help you. This is a very big debate. This is a very, very big debate amongst the big, big thinkers. If a person, is there such a thing? Is it worth your effort? Is it worth your effort to be mispalel that a person should want? Generally, you have a boy or a girl, they're dying to get married. All different reasons. Either they're lonely, or because they want to have children, or because they're afraid, they want to be like their friends. A long, long list of reasons why they want. If you want, automatically means if you want, you're going to settle on something. You're going to settle. If you want to buy a pair of tefillin, let's say you lose your tefillin chas shalom, you go into the store. I need to put on tefillin tomorrow morning. Right? I don't have a choice. So I want to buy a pair of tefillin. So you want to go, you can go research, so you can go order a tefillin, find out what kind of tefillin you want, you can research and you can spend $1 million and hours reading the reviews on Amazon. Who's the best cipher? Or, I don't got time for this. I need to put on tefillin tomorrow morning. You have a pair of tefillin? Yeah, we have here 3 pairs of tefillin. That's all we got in the store. You want me to order? It'll take me a few weeks. Right now, I got A, B, and C. Okay? I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to take 1 or 3 pairs of tefillin. I'm done. What? I want. I want to put on tefillin tomorrow morning. This is my selection. I got to do it now. Time is short. I'm going to make a selection. Then you have a guy who walks in. It's all you got. I don't even want to put on tefillin tomorrow. I don't want. I'm not interested. I don't want. What? No, I won't even borrow. Whatever it is. I don't want. Question. If a person, is there such a thing as praying to Hashem that Hashem should influence a person to want? If a person wants, you can pray that the store is still open, so by the time he goes to the store will be open.
How is this different from any other?
Because tefillah, to feel that, yeah, we have to go into the world of tefillah. What exactly is tefillah? Can your tefillah reach to such a level? You're going down very, very deep that you're asking Hashem to influence a person's desires? to do the right thing, it's a very delicate. That the borders upon that. This is what he's supposed to do. It's his decision. You can talk to him. You can try to persuade him, but to say to the mispalo that he should want without your intervention, without you taking him to a psychologist and doing all these things, you want to go take him to a psychologist. The psychologist should drill some sense to his head. Okay, that's physical. But to go be mispalo that all of a sudden he should wake up more than he should want, and then the male will just settle on what's available. That is a very great dilemma amongst the Balei Musar. If you look carefully at the words of the Sefer Chassidim, he appears to be taking the side that yes, there is such a thing as being mispalel to Hashem to influence. A lot of things that the Sefer Chassidim say, probably the majority of them, are not popular and they're not accepted. Some things are outright rejected by Shulchan Aruch. He came way before the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, and Shulchan Aruch is based on Rav Yosef Shapiro's decision. The majority, he took three Rishonim. He took the Rosh, the Rif, and the Rambam, and he made a scientific decision, 2:1. If all three of these opinions are in agreement, that's the halacha. If they disagree, we'll follow the majority. There's a flaw in that approach, because two of the three were Sfardim, come from Spain, and many people who need the Shulchan Aruch are people who come from Ashkenaz, who have a different tradition. So long came the Ramah. The Ramah says, I don't go for the scientific approach to Halacha. And so the Ramah quote all of the Ashkenazim, but then they came and they criticized the Ramah. The Ramah, you're only giving us the Polish version of Ashkenaz. Ashkenaz wasn't born in Poland. Matan Torah did not happen in Poland. It was not. Even though everyone knows that Torah was given in Yiddish on Har Sinai, but it wasn't in Poland. They spoke Yiddish in Ashkenaz, in Germany and France. We accept that the Torah was given in Yiddish, but not in Poland. There are other mountains in this world. So they criticized the Ramah. You also being too selective in your approach to Halacha. So, just because it says something in the Sefer Hasidim doesn't mean everyone accepts. The Sefer Hasidim is presenting his viewpoint. It's fascinating because things that he says today, they sound very not popular, and yet they're very biting. They're very true, and they are very painful because we know that he's right. And yet today, halacha l'maisa, we look around, a lot of things that he says, no one's interested in listening to because we don't. So here he says something, you have to understand everything he says, this is written in a very different time. We're used to reading things from the last 100 years. We read the Mishnah Berurah. You want to go with the Chaya Adam. You want to go. These are things that are relatively recent. The Aruch HaShulchan. These are all modern things. This is something which is very misleading. It's such a nice print with Nekudos and everything. It looks so fine. It looks like it was written yesterday. 800 years ago, this was written. And he says things that are just outright shocking. So look what he says. So he says, Al Tanish Yisrael, Al Tekal, Al Ach. A person is causing you trouble. What do you do? Pray to them. Ach hispalel, a love sheyashlim Hakadosh Baruch Hu libo Hashem should fill up the gap in his heart. V'yachzireu lemutav. There's such a thing. Yeah, Yitakol. There's such a thing. Hakadosh Baruch Hu should influence a person's thinking. It's not to do this. The influence you're thinking, and there is the influence of your environment.
Does the Gemara say brachas yud?
But that I think maybe Rav Meir's wife. Okay, this. So what is he quoting the Gemara? I think he's quoting the Gemara. The story of Rav Meir. Rav Meir had enemies. This idea, this debate that I told you, is rooted in between a machleitz between a man and a woman, between Rav Meir and his wife. There were people in the city of Rav Meir that were causing him, giving him grief. So what did he do? He woke up early in the morning. He took out a chicken. He took out a rooster. And he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every single day at a very precise moment. And that moment is the moment when the crown of the rooster turns red. When it turns red, at that moment, when it turns red, is the ideal moment to curse another Jew. At that moment, the curse will be chal upon the person. So Rav Meir did it! He disagreed with the Sefer, he disagreed with what it says here. He wanted to. He tried very hard. He steered at the chicken, and what happened? I guess he was a little bored, so he turned on the morning kollel, a tape from the morning kollel, and he fell asleep. Right at the moment, right at the moment when the so he's realized lo misyata lo is he didn't have siyata shmaya. As his wife walks, what are you doing holding the chicken? What are you doing holding the rooster like that? So he told her what he was doing. So she said to him, "That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be mispalel that Hashem influenced them to do teshuva." So Meir didn't know that. He didn't know that. Obviously, he disagreed with his wife. The Gemara presents two opinions. There's the opinion of his wife, and or he didn't know. He didn't know. He didn't understand that. Of course, he knew that. I disagree with you, my wife. But she said no. The Gemara presents the story to show us there are two opinions. There are two opinions.
He was upset. That's why he forgot about
it. What?
He was upset. It could have caused him to forget.
Getting upset, he didn't forget. He fell asleep. Getting angry makes you forget. He fell asleep.
Why did he start to do it?
Well, these people provoked him. So whatever it is, the Gemara presents two opinions. The common man will tell you that his wife was right. I don't believe that's correct. Okay, since when does the Gemara, it's only in the 21st century that women were always right. In ancient times, the Shviga was always wrong. Okay, the Shviga was always wrong in ancient times. Only today, women's live. So what's rather, I personally believe is the Gemara is not telling us who's right, who's wrong. The Gemara is telling us a story to present to us there are two opinions. There are two approaches to dealing with people in this world, different strokes for different folks. Right? In Meir's wife, it's natural for a woman to have more compassion, have more rachmanis. She told him this is not a derech. It's not a derech to go and curse a person. Better, and even though no one's coming to disagree if they deserve it. We're not discussing that. Meir is not coming to kill an innocent person. Okay, he's discussing a person who is a troublesome person who deserves to get what he got. And Meir is correct. But his wife is also correct. Different strokes of different folks have two different opinions. This is the age-old machlokes, and obviously like everything we discuss here in this shiur is a matter of balance. What's right, what's wrong. And Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is clearly siding with his wife. Don't ever, especially today, in today's day and age, today you can never say, today it's Pasha that his wife, because today you can never say someone is deserving of punishment. Who are you to say that? We're not a Tan, we're not an Amora. Moshe Rabbeinu vayar kienish, and he killed him. He said, Hashem, he killed the Ish Mitzri. He was able to see through all the generations. At Seif Kol Hayamim, nothing good will come from this person. Who could say such a thing like that today? No one can even say even in 5 minutes, nothing good will come from this person. So therefore, this is his opinion. At Sheyashlam Hakadosh Baruch Hu Libo V'Yatzir Lemutav V'Al Timsar Olav Din Lemar Atzur Yin Kimeni Me'Hakadosh Baruch Hu V'Tzur Mitzvah Hashem May He Take Revenge. He may act in my behalf Miyadai. He should exact my revenge. V'Yashuv Lo'Isa Haran Hashem should give, should bring upon that person, should boomerang upon him. Lo'Isa Harak Kirasai. That's called Moiser Chaveroi Lidin. If you say that your friend should be cursed, what's the rule the Gemara says? Ki kol ha Moiser Lidin al Chaveroi Rachmana Litzlan. You're cursing yourself. It boomerangs upon yourself. Ba midas and lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu vaimeris ribayin shalaylam lazeta sedin. Don't bring the curse upon the intended recipient. Bring the curse upon the one who made the curse. Rachmana Litzlan, the person who cursed someone else. Who gets the curse? The person who made the curse. You're cursing yourself. Chazal say this, and they prove it. Then it's finished. He should be cursed. Kloloi shel davar. Al tekalol shum adam ki pa'am rabbi sakloloi many times. This is all the time, but many times it says. Many times. Choizrois the cholois kulon Al Roshoi V'Al Zaroi Rachmana Litzlan. If it doesn't come to you, it comes to his own children. This is frightening beyond belief to hear such thing. And it's easy to say this, but when you're angry, you're in a state of pain, someone has caused you tsar, it's very hard to keep your mouth shut. Okay, anyone that's been in that matzav, I'm sure everyone has.
What's a curse?
You have the power to curse. What do you mean a curse? What do you mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
A curse means you say the same way you give a bracha to someone. You say a bracha on Rosh Hashanah night. Yisei yish l'shana toiva, tikosev, v'seichosem, l'alter, l'chayim, tovim u'l'shalom. That's a bracha. Finished. You go to the koi brichos kohanim, yivarech, there they say Hashem's name. Okay? You go to a holy person, you want a bracha, say they're lining up around the whole Eretz Yisrael to get into Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he should say to you, Buhu. Buhu. Buhu is Rosh Etevos, he invented this thing. Baracha v'hatzlacha.
That's all he says?
That's all he says.
And that's it?
That's it. Yeah.
And you walk out?
Not even walk out, you didn't even walk in. You pass the door. If you can even get that far, and for that you have to wait 3 hours. Maybe even more. Boo. There was a mechutzif. He said, he comes into Rav Chaim and he says to him, boo. So he says back to him, he says, uhu. Uhu. So Rav Chaim stops him. What's uhu? What are you saying to me, uhu? I say, so he says, you said to me, boo, which is Rosh Etevois, birocha vehatzlocha. So I respond, uhu. Amen, v'amen. Rosh Etevois. Amen, v'amen. Aleph is amen, v. What? I don't know. Okay, that's not their cheres to do that, but it's a big joke now. Boohoo and uhu. Boohoo and uhu.
Why would not be their cheres? You following his
whatever. Don't start. I learned my lesson. I once said something not nice. Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Someone says, I made a snide comment. So the guy takes me, so he says to me, listen, you're right. You're right. He says, but you have to understand that Rav Chaim Kanievsky doesn't really know from this world. Those are facts. He does not know what's going on in this world. And the proofs, there are many stories like this. That they asked that someone came and brought from Beis Shemesh. He wanted to know where in America is Beis Shemesh. Where in America is Beis Shemesh?
It's a trick question, though.
What? It's not a trick question. So that opens up the possibility for people to say things that are not nice. Right? But the bottom line is, Chaim Kanievsky, he sits and learns Yoimam V'Laila without a second, without wasting a second. He has proven himself in the Svarim that he has written, which the knowledge that he has is just not to be believed. And the environment that he's in is not to be believed. So someone said to me, you're right. He's not necessarily familiar with your smartphone. He may not know how to operate your smartphone. He may not know how to operate, know exactly how to turn on the air conditioner, and even know how recent, when someone makes a comment about the air, he thought the air conditioner was very recently invented. It's like a very new invention. He may not be knowledgeable in these things, but he is still the Urim V'Tumim. He is the Urim V'Tum of this generation. You may not feel comfortable coming to ask him a question about how to turn on the latest gadget that you're allowed to use it on Shabbos because he's not familiar with the technology. But the fact that there is a person like this whose entire life has not wasted a second and is completely involved, his mind is completely immersed in the Holy Torah, which is our Amunah, he is the Urim V'Tumim. So, sacred, you don't check with it. This is the musr the person gave to me. I know your comments, this, that, and you can say a lot you won't say. Everyone understands what I'm talking about. And it made an impression on me. What can I tell you? It hit me hard. You're right. I should be more careful what I say. Not everyone in this, no one has everything in this world. No one has everything. They said about Baruch Ber. Baruch Ber, they said about Baruch Ber. They once said to Baruch Ber, had a beautiful voice. A beautiful voice. He was a Baal Menagini, and he a composer. They even recently put out tapes, CDs, of his compositions, of Baruch Ber Leibowitz, the Hilchot of Baruch Ber. And so they once said to him, Baruch Ber was the biggest Talmud of Chaim Soloveitchik. The biggest Talmud of Chaim Soloveitchik. Everything is comes from Chaim Soloveitchik, Brisket Torah. So they once said, They said to him, they shepherded him, you're even greater than Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Because Reb Chaim Soloveitchik couldn't sing, was totally tone deaf. Tone deaf as tone deaf gets. Even though he was a Levi, and the Levi was supposed to be sing Shira, he was no Zemiris. Zemiris is, Yishak, there's no Kelado, you know, Kolamasim, you know, the old jokes. No Zemiris, okay? There's no. So you're even better. You can sing and you could, you know all this Torah. So he said just the opposite. He said, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives every person something. No one in this world has everything. No one. But Hashem makes you feel good, so he gives you, every person, he gives you something very unique. My Rebbe, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, do you know who he was? You have any understanding of what he what, of his greatness in Torah? You have no clue. It's just beyond your comprehension. It's not even allow you to understand who he was. So no, he didn't have that maila. Me, I'm a nothing. Can I get my Rebbe in Torah? So Hashem wanted to make me feel good. So he gave me a gift. He gave me a gift. I can sing. Okay, we don't look at it. We look at Baruch Ber. We have Baruch Ber, and he also has sing. But he said a very important yisoid. He said is that Hashem does not give every person everything. Every person has what they need and has what the tools they need to do what they're supposed to do. So there are things that people are lacking in. There's no question about it. That does not give you the right to go and to belittle them because in this one area they are lacking. There are other areas, things that they have that are supreme, above and beyond. And for that, they deserve respect. I made it right. It changed my thinking. I still am, unfortunately, a little bit too loose with my lips. And someone put me in my place and says, you know, he's the Urim V'Tumim. There's no one that we know comes to his knowledge and his Yirah Shemayim as we know it. And therefore, it's true, there are things that he's lacking in. No one's coming to deny that. You have to be careful how you talk.
If someone hears it, not in prison, not
cursing. It doesn't matter. There is no different cursing a person in their presence or cursing them elsewhere. We have to finish it right now. Now, what's the source? The source is Shekei Matzinu. Here we go, the last line. This is Shekol HaKlolois. Shekilel David Es Yoyov Niskaimu Bezaroi. Okay, this is a shocking chazal, and you have to go through all the details and Tehillim, all the details. David had a very hard life. He had a lot of tzaris with his son Avshalom. He had tzaris with his wives. He had Adoniel Ben Chagis, the rebellion. He had a lot of tzaris and his descendants after he died. Where do all those tzaris come from? So there's a very long chazal that goes and enumerates. David had a falling out with his general, Yoav. Yoav was his general. Yoav, the Sar HaTzavah, and he was very loyal and very good, and he accomplished for David the most amazing things. But at the end of David's life, there was a, what?
His nephew.
He was his nephew, yes. Yoav, and what was it? She's one of the only women who is called by his mother's name. Yoav ben? Tsruya. Tsruya is a woman. It's not a man. Yoav ben, not many people know that. Tsruya. And David, at the end of his life, had a falling out with Yoav. Yoav supported Avshalom, Adoniel ben Chagis, not Shlomo HaMelech, and that caused quite a bit of, it was before that, there was friction towards, and David was furious at what happened, and he cursed Yoav. Terrible things. All the curses that he heaped upon Yoav came upon David himself. And David's own children. And the Gemara illustrates all the gory details of this. All the gory details. And they illustrate this to teach us the lesson to keep your mouth shut. I'm talking to myself, to keep your mouth shut because Rahman al-Itzlan, when you curse another person, even though we're very lenient because we say, my words have absolutely no impact.
You tell someone to go to hell, is that cursing?
To a degree, no, yes. Serious, To a degree. To a degree. How do we rationalize this that we curse other people? In all different types of cursings. We rationalize, I'm such a lowlife myself, my words have no value. It's just a word, I have power. You go to a holy person, so words that come out of his mouth have significance. My words, it's a joke. Therefore, I can do whatever I want, because anyway, at least it's therapeutic to get the words out of my mouth. Okay, that's how we rationalize what we do. When many people, when they curse someone out, they curse someone, the fun of Shofar, what a rush, a rat hell, they go on and on and on. Yimach Shmo v'Zichro, we say these horrible things. Why? Because who am I anyway? I'm a joke. Chazal say, don't be so humble. You're not so great. Don't be so humble. You never know. You never know, even the lowest of the low, you never know the koyach of your dibur. We have really, really, don't risk it. It's not worth the risk. Maybe even a simple curse that you bestow upon someone else, it might have power. And if it does have power, where is it, where is the address? Your home address. So why take the risk? Don't take the risk, even though you may have such a humble opinion of yourself. It's just not worth it. We're going to stop now and take a short break. Kuf Tes, yeah.